Today's the 23rd anniversary of China's crackdown on pro-democracy protesters in Beijing's Tiananmen Square. Our next guest has an interesting observation about that day. He says many dissidents here and still in China who led the movement have become Christians. In fact, he says 1989 was a watershed year for conversions, one that's led to a quiet spiritual revolution, as opposed to the violent political one, because for many Chinese, Christianity is equated with modernity. Feng Gangyang is a professor of sociology and director of the Center on Religion and Chinese Society at Purdue University in Indiana. The New York Review of Books called him one of the most prominent of the new wave of scholars studying religious life in contemporary China. He's also a Christian who converted shortly after coming to the U.S. in 1989 and joins us from WBAA at Purdue. Professor Yang, welcome.
Thank you.
And tell us more. Christianity equated with modernity. This is, it would seem, revolutionary thinking, because Christianity used to be associated with Western imperialism. You know, Mao described religion as poison. So why is it seen as modern?
Yeah, well, this is really a very different discourse from the Marxist-Maoist revolutionary discourse. I would say the Communist Party in China first destroyed much of the traditional spirituality, you know, traditional religions and belief systems. And then in 1989, people find that communist idealism or the communist belief system could not really provide the things they want. And they began to look for alternatives. And Christianity is the alternative to many young people.
Well, we know that by 1982 or so, there were very few temples, churches, or mosques. But then in the later 80s, state-sanctioned churches were permitted. And yet it's interesting. Catholicism and Protestantism separated, you know, not considered of one of Christianity?
That's right. In China, the government allows for five religions, and that made Catholicism and Protestantism as separate ones. In addition to these Christian religions, there's Buddhism, Taoism, and Islam.
By the way, why wasn't Buddhism, why weren't the more traditional faiths of the region, why weren't they satisfying these spiritual needs?
I have to say, there are people who have gone into Buddhism. Actually, Buddhism remained to be the largest religion in China. But what's interesting to me, at least, is the intellectuals. Since 1989, many of them, many prominent ones, have turned to Christianity instead of Buddhism. And especially for those who strive for democracy, for a modern society, they see Christianity provide the foundation for their individual life and perhaps also for the kind of social institutions they desire
right.
for.
Well, the New York Review of Books says China is in the grip of a religious revival analogous to America's Great Awakening in the 19th century. So there's a there's a comparison to another time of great social upheaval. Now, the most recent Chinese census mentions an estimated 4 million Roman Catholics, 10 million Protestants, but independent estimates say, you know, converts could be anywhere from 40 million to 130 million.
Mm-hmm.
You yourself, interestingly, though, converted here. You came to the U.S. in 1989 as a visiting professor at Catholic University. Why did you feel the need to convert?
I'm from an atheist background. My father was a communist revolutionary who joined the communists during the Second World War. For me, really, it took a long way to reach the point to become a believer. I was looking for something. In college, I studied politics and education, but I found them not that interesting. So I turned myself to poetry and the literature. Then I didn't find the satisfaction, so I then turned to philosophy. And when I studied Western philosophy, I realized that so many Western philosophers talked about God. That's totally new to me. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that philosophers could believe in God. That's really led me to religion. I began to study religion as my research focus. But really after June 4th, 1989, I suddenly felt that I was a homeless person in terms of spirituality.
This was right after Tiananmen. You're here, and it's happening there.
That's right. That was a very painful period for me. I want a spiritual home. When I looked for the different religious traditions, Christianity made the best sense to me, so yeah. I converted.
Well, and now you are studying other believers. And on one of your most recent trips to China, we understand you study believers who meet at McDonald's, which only opened in 1990. Why are they at McDonald's?
Yes. When I went to a southern city in China, interviewed those young people, some of them participated in the 1989 student movement for democracy. Those people, when I talked to them, wanted to make appointment to interview them. And very often they said, oh, let's meet at the McDonald's. And then several of them told me the story that they even had a Bible study at a McDonald's for a long time. Because according to the Chinese policy, religious activities have to be within the religious premises, religious sites.
These are officially sanctioned groups and churches.
Right. Doing anything religious outside of the church would be considered illegal. But it's interesting, at McDonald's, if you buy some food or drinks and sit at the table, that table belongs to you for that period of time. So people do gather there and study the Bible. But one day, Bible study activities were found out by the local police, and they rounded all of the people up and asked them to pledge never do that again. Interestingly, the leaders of the Bible study and eventually wrote down on a form, said, you know, we promise we will never do this again at this McDonald's. But there are plenty of other McDonald's and other modern restaurants. You know, the significance of McDonald's is not the restaurant itself. It's really more of a symbolism, a connection with the global world, and also symbolizes this rational, efficient, modern type of business. Actually, the Bible study they did was called the Timothy Training Course. It's 12 lessons. People would spread out to 12 tables. Each table is one lesson. The first lesson is introduction of basics of beliefs. And the 12th lesson is really prepare you to be an evangelist. It's that kind of rational efficiency. It's just like the McDonald's.
Afanggang Yang, professor of sociology at Purdue, on the wave of Chinese conversions to Christianity in the wake of Tiananmen Square. When we come back, we'll have more on how the Chinese government is responding. Also, quick note, later today, comic book characters not exactly coming out, but becoming gay in a parallel reality. We'll have more. That's later. Back in 1 minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. We're talking about China's explosive growth in religion, in particular Christianity, which has boomed in post-Tiananmen Square China since 1989. The Chinese government is trying to control it. Official churches are registered, and people who go to them have to sign a pledge that says, love the country, love your religion. But millions of Chinese Christians also worship underground at what are called house churches. Our guest is Purdue University professor Afanggang Yang, an expert on religion in China and among Chinese immigrants here. And Professor Yang, why do you think the Chinese government is allowing religion at all? We watched as they suppressed Falun Gong. And now there are China watchers who think the government is taking the Marxist view that religion is an opiate for the masses, so let people participate, you know, to keep their eyes off politics.
Yeah, according to the ideology of communism or Marxism, Maoism, the best would be eliminate religion immediately. And the Communist Party in China tried that. From 1966 to 1979. But the problem is that that policy failed. There has been some adjustment. Now the official statements do try to say, all religions could make a positive contribution to social stability. So that perhaps you could interpret as they perceive religion as opium, so that they would not really rebel.
Yeah.
But I think that applies to traditional Chinese religions more than Christianity. The government are more nervous about the Christian growth, especially about the house churches. A majority of Christians in China are not in the government-approved churches, but in the so-called house churches. I think that worries the government more.
Meanwhile, what do you see in this country? You talk about Chinese immigrant churches in Washington, D.C. You found among immigrants the proportion of converts is as high as 75%. Churches now filled with mainland Chinese instead of Taiwanese and immigrants from Hong Kong. So there's a shift going on in this country as well. What else are you seeing?
Yeah, the number of Chinese churches in the U.S. has been increasing. And now at universities, there are always some Chinese church or Bible study group that recruit new people. But even the ministries, American ministries toward the international students, here I heard people talking about Campus Crusade or InterVarsity, even though they target all international students, or including local, you know, American students, still they get 70% of the participants who are Chinese. So this is a very interesting phenomenon. Also, thinking about Jeremy Lin, the NBA player.
Yep, for the Knicks.
You know, he's a Christian. That seems to be surprising to many people in the U.S. But if you understand the Chinese-American community, wouldn't be a surprise. Among Chinese Americans, Christianity has become the largest practiced religion.
And how else are Chinese Christians assimilating in the U.S.? Because as you well know, living here, there's a political spectrum that Christianity runs along from the left to the right. There are progressive Christians who, for instance, might be concerned about the plight of the Palestinians. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have Christians who are concerned about abortion. And we find it interesting that Chinese dissident Chen Guangcheng, who was under house arrest in China for fighting the government against forced abortions, you know, has come to the U.S. He is not a Christian. He was concerned about what he saw as, you know, severe government overreach. But he's being approached by Right to Life groups here in the U.S. who want to use him for fundraising appeals, swamped with invitations to speak at anti-abortion rallies and events. But he's not a Christian. So in China, is there that same spectrum, or is it presumed that Christianity also means something politically?
Of course, in any society, you have very different types of Christians. But overall, in the U.S., the Chinese-American Christians, they are evangelical, they are apolitical. They rarely participate in political activities. In China, as I have interviewed so many people, both those in the officially approved churches and also in the house churches, the vast majority of them are evangelical and they have very little interest in politics. But when their own rights of worship is violated, they hold on to their rights and fight back now. And there is a rise of civil rights lawyers or human rights lawyers. Interestingly, a significant proportion of them are Christian. And these Christian lawyers fight for the rights of those marginalized people in China. Would you call this political? They may say, you know, we are really not political, but we just want to have our basic rights that are guaranteed by the Constitution.
I don't know if you know or if anyone knows how the Chinese dissident Chen Guangcheng is reacting to this, because, of course, in China, he was fighting government-forced abortions. It'll be interesting if he joins forces with Christians here who are fighting the right to choose.
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and I think we have to watch what he is going to accept to do. About his faith, I only heard that he said he also believed in God, even though he is not a Christian. That itself is, I think, somewhat significant, because in the Chinese culture, Most people would say they don't believe in a God. If they do, they tend to believe multiple gods. When he said he believes in God, 上帝, that is getting close to the Christian understanding of monotheism.
Well, it's all fascinating. Feng Gongyang, professor of sociology and director of the Center on Religion and Chinese Society at Purdue University in Indiana, on the rising tide of Christianity in China. Professor Yang, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And a quick note, today the Shanghai Composite Index fell 64.89 points, or as some Chinese saw it, 6489, June 4th, 1989, the date of the Tiananmen Square incident. Coincidence? Well, perhaps worried people wouldn't think so. Chinese censors blocked online searches of Shanghai Composite Index, 64.89, June 4th, stock market. So much for new freedoms. Latest news is next, here and now.